The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
And welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and yes, we're back. After a very long hiatus, we're back. Thank you, everybody, so much for your patience. My life situation is straightening itself out, so I'm very pleased to say that we're here, and we're talking all about Season 4, Episode 1 of Total Bellas. Yay.
Primo!
Yes, after a very, very trying Season 3, a very heavy finale to Season 3, the girls are back, we're in better spirits, Nikki is moving on with her life, and we're seeing all the drama unfold. We also have a new cast member, Maya Laurinaitis, Johnny's daughter.
Their stepsister,
which is interesting. So Johnny's kind of taking a step back and his daughter is sort of coming into the picture. And this was a much more focused in back on the girls episode than what we've seen in the past. We've seen a lot of very big family-centric episodes that sort of revolved around their brother or their mother. This is now very much back on Bree and Nikki again.
As Nikki is now looking for life after her ex.
Yes. So a couple really interesting things about this episode. This is post-breakup with
her
Mr.
ex.
Cena,
no,
her ex.
Her ex. No longer Cena. It's her ex. That's
yes.
key number one in all this.
Yeah. They don't call him by name. I don't think they're allowed to call him out by name. If somebody else does it, I think it's okay. But the girl specifically, the family specifically, does not call him out by name. And it's interesting that generally when they're with people outside of fans, and when I say people, I mean people inside WWE, they do not call him by name.
No, it's her ex.
Her ex, specifically. Another interesting thing is we do see Nikki officially move out of Cena's Tampa house. Well, we see her arrive.
Hold on. Just like her ex, we can't see it.
Yep, because she tells the cameras in the car, I have to turn the cameras off. They are not allowed inside the house. They're not allowed to videotape the move out.
Yeah, she was moving out of the place in Tampa. Like, everything was packed, and she just had to come get the boxes and what have you. But we couldn't see any of it. And all you saw was the aftermath and her sit-down interview where she's very emotional about it.
And this is a hard thing for her because she was with him for a long time. They were together, what, 5, 6 years? 7 years?
Something like that, yeah.
They were together a long, long time. They were very close. And Nikki, in the end, decided this isn't what she wanted after all. And she's moved on. Now, that doesn't mean that she hates John. That doesn't mean that there aren't some residual emotions there, because I think there absolutely are. I think she's still 100% in love with him. It's just the lifestyle isn't what she wants. She doesn't want to be on her own. She doesn't want to only be arm candy for premieres and only see him at premieres. She wants to see him every day. She wants a real marriage, a real relationship. That's not what she had. So she's made the decision to move on with her life.
And this episode was all about what the next step is. And for her, it's the location of where she's living. She's tired of living with Bray or in a hotel. She wants to be on her own. And she has a decision to make of where to be. And that plays a big part in what goes on with Bree as well.
Right. So Nikki is living in Bree and Brian's guest house. Bree and Brian relocated last season to San Diego specifically to be with Nikki and see her through this process. And now Nikki has decided San Diego is too sad for her. It's got too many bad memories. It's got too many memories, good and bad. And it's just making getting over the breakup hard. And she basically wants to go somewhere new. She wants to go somewhere fresh. She wants to restart her life. And she wants to get away from the memories for a little while, which is probably good for the healing process. Instead of just wallowing in the past, to just say, screw it, I'm going to cut ties and I'm just going to go do something new. And, you know, part of that can be evasion, but part of that is also just moving on. And so she basically announces to Bree, hey, I'm going to move to LA. And Bree's like, what?
You're doing what now? Who to what?
Now, mind you, when I say Bree and Brian moved, Bree and Brian, Birdie, the two dogs, all rented this house And on top of that, they move the Birdie Bee headquarters to San Diego.
To the house. Like, it's, they have the guest house is the offices.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they set up their business in San Diego for Nikki and Bree to be there. That's what they did.
That's what they did.
And to say Daniel Bryan was confused when he heard about this, that's an understatement. He was like, really? Oh.
No, Bryan was like, wait, what? Then why are we here?
Yeah. And when they did the sit down with him, he goes, I'm totally not bothered by the decision at all. And you see his eyes so big.
Bryan's back, guys. Bryan's back in a big way on this show.
We'll get to the other part in a minute.
But yeah, Bryan is just like, how did I get caught up in this? How is this my life? But yeah, so, and what this does is this kind of causes a rift between Bree and Nikki, because Nikki, you know, Nikki is Nikki, right? We all know and love Nikki. And when Nikki makes a decision, that's it. Nikki makes a decision. And there isn't, you can tell that there's not, there's some thought behind this, but there's not a lot of thought behind this. And she really didn't think, you could tell how it impacted Bree and Bryan specifically, how it impacted the rest of her family specifically, that she's just going to go off and move to LA for however long she wants until she moves on.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, for Bree and Bryan, they moved to San Diego for her. Mm-hmm. They went and stayed in Florida for her. They followed her all around this relationship with John to be with her, to be supportive. So I can see how in their eyes they would be upset. Now, they move there of their own accord.
Which is something Nikki brings up.
But ultimately, the part of the driving factor of them moving there is Nikki. So for, you know, her to suddenly be like, hey, I'm going to, you know, F off to LA for a year, I could see why Bree would be upset. I completely see, because it's like she's operated her whole life for the sake of her sister. And now her sister's like, yeah, no, I'm going to just F off for a while. Bye.
Right.
So this creates a problem between Bree and Nikki where they're not on the same page.
There was a very uncomfortable lunch.
It was a very uncomfortable lunch. They were snipping at each other. And Bree feels that Nikki needs to stay in San Diego to heal. Bree accuses Nikki of running away from her problems, from running away from the past, and that at some point she is going to have to face it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. Nikki at some point will have to face what happened with John, but I just don't think she's ready to do it yet.
No.
This is essentially picks up right after the breakup happens. And so she's not ready to go down that road yet. She needs to get herself right. And once she gets herself right, then she can deal with what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how you gotta do this, is you can't deal with what happened and then get yourself okay. You gotta get yourself okay first. And once you're okay, then you can take on anything. But she's just, yeah, there is a very, very uncomfortable lunch between the girls. And then on top of that, there's a very uncomfortable dinner between Mama Bella, Maya, Laurinaitis, and the two daughters.
Yeah.
That they're snipping at each other, they're insulting each other, and Mama Bella's like, can we just have a nice dinner?
Yeah.
And they're just like, no.
Because Bree makes her snide comments, and Nikki's like, oh, there she goes again.
Now, there's something else that's sort of compounding this stress. And that is, Daniel Bryan, in his infinite wisdom, has officially decided that he wants baby number two. He's ready to go. He is ready to get on the baby making.
He's going as far as buying moon cycle tea.
Fertility tea, which I didn't even know was a thing, that Bree can take so she can get pregnant.
So you take the tea, apparently, then you get on bed and you sit in the position for 3 minutes for something.
You draw your knees up to your chest and you breathe deeply for a minute to 3 minutes, and then I guess you get the bang on and it potentially gets you pregnant. I don't know. I don't know how well this stuff works. They're kind of joking about it, but Bree's not interested in the idea of getting pregnant again because she's just gotten back into shape and she's happy with her body the way it is. And then on top of that, hey, guess what? WWE calls. Evolution. It's right around the corner. Y'all want to do the pay-per-view? Let's go.
And they're in. The girls are in. They're going to do a thing. They're going to do a storyline. And going back really quick to the whole baby number two thing, they're doing a sit down with Bryan and Bree, and they're talking about, you know, how Birdie was conceived. And it was the 1 month they didn't try. Birdie came. Bryan said, and I quote, she wasn't the only one.
and Bree's just like, oh, Jesus, God, I married this.
The laugh.
I love him, but I married this.
The laugh was the best.
Yeah, it's like, you dork.
Such a
you
dork.
You lovable dork.
He made a sex joke. I got away with it.
He's like, I slipped a sex joke in there. I feel, you know what, honestly, I feel like there's going to be a more relaxed feeling to this show now because certain circumstances have changed.
You mean the X is no longer a factor?
Yeah, the X is no longer a factor. There is no more X factor in this show. So they can get away, I feel like, with a lot more of the things that they couldn't if he was involved. So that's the really interesting thing about this. So we're going to see how the season goes. But yeah, so Bree decides, yeah, I'm going to do a comeback. Nikki and I can do a comeback together, which is super awkward because they're fighting with each other.
Right, and they're like, hey, let's pop some champagne and let's sort of squash everything for now and be on the same page. And he's like, we'll try.
And then we kind of cut to the girls after they sort of quasi-kissed and made up going to Lauren's baby shower, which God bless her, she looks like she's ready to pop.
She was like,
she looks fantastic, but she looks like she's ready to pop.
She was like 2-3 weeks out.
Yeah, she was pregnant. There was no mistaking that. And so they do this really pretty cute baby shower. Nikki and Bree both get trashed on drinks.
They were drunk before 1 p.m.
I respect that wholeheartedly.
Of course you do.
I can't say anything because I got popped before noon on New Year's. But
that's New Year's. This is a baby shower.
I can't say that I haven't done that too. So
I know.
So, in the process, alcohol sort of heals all wounds, and the girls kiss and make up for real, where Nikki apologizes to Bree and is like, look, I felt like I didn't have to include you in this decision, and this is the first thing that I feel like I've done strictly for me in a really long time, and I just needed to do it.
She had to do it on her own, like Bree did the same thing with her ex and living in New York for a couple years. Nikki's now putting herself first. Which she has the right to do.
She absolutely has the right to do. The Nikki Bella that we saw when she started Total Divas all those years ago, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, however long ago it was, and the Nikki Bella that we see now are two entirely different people. And the thing is the Nikki Bella of now has to figure out who she is. And more importantly, she has to figure that out as a single woman.
Which is why, I don't think we've mentioned it, she's moving to Los Angeles.
Although there's one thing that, like, kind of irritated me about that, where she's like, well, now I'm 35 and single with no kids, and I'm sitting here like, and? Welcome to life? Like, it's not as bad as you think. It's actually kind of awesome, especially if you're attractive and rich. Like, just saying, if I had her money and her looks, I'd be like, I'm 35 and single and rich! Let's go, baby!
Anyway.
I mean, shit. I mean, like, I don't need you to have a kid. I'm going to have a kid on my own. I can afford it because I'm that responsible person, right? But I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, it's like, that's what I was thinking. It's just like, really? It's like, I'm 35 and single. And I'm just sitting here like, and what? There's nothing wrong with being 35 and single and childless, y'all. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's fine. Don't let anybody tell you different.
But for someone who was already going down the path of being married and having kids, now to be 35 and single, it's a, you know.
But was she really gonna have kids?
She was gonna be married, at least.
She was gonna be married. But come on. I think we all know now that kid thing was not serious. That was that last ditch effort to make it work. And it's like, yes, you want to marry me? Okay, you're not going to do it unless I promise to have a child with you. Fine. I will have a child, a single child with you that she would end up raising on her own because he would probably want no part of it. So it's like, is it really? Are they really having a child together? Like, she would have a baby, but she would be raising the baby on her own. So at that point, do you really need him to have the child? Or can you just, you know, get that sorted out on your own? Because, like, with today's technology, she doesn't even have to carry the baby. Like, they could do it all through a surrogate. She could do it all through a surrogate where she has an egg fertilized, a surrogate carries it, and in 9 months, boom, she's got her own kid. And she doesn't even have to worry about getting pregnant.
But, yeah. So, there's that.
But yeah, there's that. So, the episode closes with the Bellas preparing to make their comeback, and Bree and Brian talk about Bree's big comeback, and she's just like, I just need to do this one more time, and he's obviously very disappointed because he wanted to have another baby, and he's like, at this point I feel like I'm the world's oldest father, because I think he's like 37, 38.
Something like that.
And so he really wanted to go ahead and have baby number two. And he mentions to her that you're 35.
He's 37, by the way.
So for her, the clock is ticking, but it's not ticking.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with technology and their level of money, they have options available to them should she not want to get pregnant again. And so...
But you're skipping over the best part of it. Bree has something to tell Brian. Tells him to sit down and to embrace himself.
Oh my God. So, oh my God, I had to pause the TV for just a second.
But the best part, it was instead embrace himself. So what was very subtle about it, as she's trying to figure it out, Brian is embracing himself.
He's such a dad. Like, he's got the dad jokes down pat, man.
Mm-hmm. So she showed him merch designs and everything and then tells him about the comeback. But it was the embrace himself and him just doing the subtle embracing himself was perfect.
It's like, again, you dork.
And then she needs a coach again, so Brian can be a coach. She needs a new finisher. He says, the sterilizer.
And she's like, actually, that's really good. And he's like, the castrator. And she's just like, no, I like the sterilizer better.
Because, you know, cattle mutilation was this thing back in the day. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I digress, yes.
But yeah, I mean, so basically Brian is disappointed that they're not going to go ahead and get on having baby number two, but it's like, realistically, in terms of how long this comeback went, you're really only talking a few months, maybe 6 months, max.
Not even. It was the 3-month run.
Yeah. You know, that she's not trying to have a baby, so it's like, it's really not delaying you that much, but I get it. He wanted to get on it because they had a hard time getting pregnant before, so he really wants to just go ahead and get on that now, and... Yeah, I mean, I understand his perspective because she sort of just did it without talking to him about it or telling him about it. She just agreed to it. But at the same time, it's like, it's one more chance for her to make the money, to have another run, to come back, to do what she really enjoys doing and really, again, get that boost of self-confidence that she needs. Because I feel like Bree and I are kind of alike. Every once in a while, we just need that little boost of self-confidence, you know, where something happens or somebody tells you something or something good, the universe, you know, gives you a gift where it's like, yes, okay, I'm in control of my destiny. Because, you know, the more I see of Bree, the more it's like I notice how just really kind of almost insecure she is a lot of the time. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So it's she just needs that boost of self-confidence, and going to WWE gives her that. And right now, especially in her words, now is the time to be a woman in WWE. Because she's sitting back on her couch watching, you know, Charlotte and Becky and
everyone.
Sasha and Bayley and Ember and all these women, all these amazing, strong women making history.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not a part of it, and she wants to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Brian's like, well, I can't argue with that, so yeah, we can wait, and you go do your thing.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. We have the photo shoot for Evolution. You saw all the girls. Nikki's ready to move to New York City and get a martini for SummerSlam weekend and just have a look around, because this is the first time she'll be single in New York. And then we had an autograph signing, and she was asked, did you have any crush on another wrestler? And she mentions dating Dolph Ziggler.
No. The best one was the girl, the 12-year-old, who had her priorities right. She asked the question everybody wants to know. Where is the ring?
Yeah.
I don't know her name. Whoever you are, thank you for asking the important question. What happened to that ring? And the answer is, it's locked up in a safe, probably never to see the light of day ever again. But it's locked. She still got the ring. She did not give it back.
That we know of.
She could have given it back since this was taped, but I think he made a very public declaration that he was letting her keep it. Because, honestly, what use does he really have for it other than to sell it?
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes more sense. It's like kind of that parting gift of, here you go. Sort of thing. But yeah, thank you to that girl for asking the important question, because we all appreciate that. And what's interesting is then Nikki is like, I know I had a really public relationship, but I'm ready for people to move on from it and, you know, just associate me with me and not me with John. And it's like, well, here's the thing. You acknowledge that you were in a public relationship. You were in a public relationship for years.
Yeah.
Better part of a decade at this point.
Seven years.
7 years, your identity is tied to John.
Whether you like period. It or, whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not, you're tied to him. And it's like, you're going to have to do enough projects and enough things without him that people start to sever that identity from you. And that's, the doing the show is a really good start, but the process to go through that is going to take years. It's not a minutes, months kind of thing. It's years. And that's if she can ever get away with it, because she is always, now and forever, going to be the one that essentially jilted John Cena at the altar. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. It's not a great thing, but it's a thing. So it's like, she's got to work really, really hard to shake that stigma off of her. I think she will. But yeah, it's not going to be an instant thing for her, but she's ready for it to be, which I get. I understand that completely, but it's like, it's going to take a while. Sorry. But overall, a good first episode.
I enjoyed it very much. Looking forward to the season. All the shenanigans that will and probably occur.
I'm happy that this is going to feel like a much more lighthearted season, because last season was so hard to get through, especially at the end, because of just how heavy the subject matter was, because we all knew what was coming. And the way that they did it was beautifully done, but it was like there at the end, you're just like, oh my God, I'm feeling so crushed by this whole thing. I'm ready for this to be over. And we're coming back and it's more lighthearted. We're seeing Nikki get on with her life, which is great. We're focusing back in more on the immediate family versus the outer family. So it just makes the show, to me, move a little quicker. Like, it almost feels like they've refocused the show a little bit, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah. So I think that does it for us.
So
Make sure you follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's Rack Radio Show at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And check out The Rack every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LINSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack Extra Reviews Total Bellas Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And I swear, I promise, we will be back next week with episode 2. Till then, bye!